forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Work Stew.
Hello and welcome to Work Stew. It's April 4th, 2013, and this is episode number 62. I'm Kate Gase-Walton. I'm the editor of Work Stew, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I speak with novelist and blogger Justine Musk. Here's the interview. I'm speaking this evening with Justine Musk, a novelist and blogger. And Justine, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show.
So I was thinking of introducing, you know, a little bit about who you are and what you do. And then I thought to myself, that's insane. I'm sort of interested to hear, what do you say when you meet somebody for the first time who, you know, doesn't happen to know anything about you? What do you typically say about yourself?
I That's always a good question. I identify myself first and foremost as a writer. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll go into detail about the kind of writing that I do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I say I'm a writer, I'm a novelist, I'm a blogger. I think, you know, more and more I'm starting to define myself as kind of a teacher. I've always liked teaching, and I've always wanted to make that part of my life in some way. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I'm bringing more of that into what I do. But, I hope to become more, less of an author, I suppose, and more of an, you know, what they call an authorpreneur. So I'm, you know, leading in that direction too. But, you know, writer kind of gets to the heart of me.
Right. And so let's cover off on the books that you've already written. I came across what for me was a new label, although I'm sure it's old hat for you, but urban fantasy, is that as opposed to suburban fantasy? Or what are we talking about here?
Yeah, urban fantasy. It's suburban fantasy. That should be a genre.
I mean, that's the 50 Shades of Grey genre.
I'm sorry, that just distracted me with lots of images. So urban fantasy, it's kind of fiction with fantastic elements. It's not fantasy per se, and it's not set in the fantasy world, and it's not set in the science fiction world. It's set in a contemporary world, you know, sometimes a city, sometimes, you know, the suburbs or the country or something different, but, you know, contemporary. And then it's about, you know, fantastic elements that kind of open up into this reality and cause all kinds of, you know, havoc and interesting plot lines.
Right. So your first book I read was Blood Angel, published in 2005. And in my mind, you know, when somebody has a book out, it becomes a lot easier for that person to announce to themselves and to the world, you know, I'm a novelist. I'm curious, though, at what point did you start thinking about yourself as a novelist and a writer? Does that go back to when you were a little girl, or how did that evolve?
I came to writing really young. Like, I really was too young to understand what I was doing or even what I was saying. Uh-huh. And so I grew up with writing as part of my identity. So it was never really difficult for me to say I'm a writer or even I'm a novelist, because I didn't really attach any kind of importance to that. It was just something that I did. I wrote novel-length manuscripts. I hesitate to call them novels, actually, but I you know, wrote these like novel-length exercises in junior high and high school. I always wrote long. So that form. Yeah. So it was just kind of like a,
Do you come from a family of writers, or were you the only one doing that sort of thing in your household?
I come from a line of very verbal people.
That's a nice way of putting it.
writers, not so much. Readers. Yes, definitely. And there were always books in my house. And my father, you know, was a principal, so he would bring home books from his school library and give them to me and say that he wanted my opinions on them, which, you know, made me feel very self-important. So reading was very encouraged. And then from there, it was a very short step to, you know, from reading stories to wanting to create my own.
So did you ever have any doubt in your mind that you would become a published writer, was that a source of any angst for you, or was it kind of like just, you know, if you stepped through it, you would get there?
I truly believed I would get there. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult. I did not expect it. I probably did not expect it to take as long and be as difficult as it turned out to be. I always had the attitude that if I wasn't getting accepted by publishers and by agents, that I just wasn't good enough yet. And so if I kept reading and I kept studying and I kept seeking out constructive feedback and I kept growing as a writer, that, you know, I would get there. So it was a very, and in some ways it was a little bit naive, but in other ways it was a very constructive attitude to take. And it certainly helped me, it helped me get through the almost misses, you know, when you almost get there,
right,
but don't quite. And then you just get really, really tired. And it's those, it's that last stretch, to publication that, can be really difficult, because that's when your faith really is being eroded.
Yeah. And I mean, what was it like? You had Blood Angel published. Did you have to submit it to a lot of people for that to happen? Or did you, have success early on with that? How did it go? How did it unfold?
No, actually, it was accepted by the first agent I sent it to, and I sent the entire manuscript to, and then she submitted it to three editors, and they all, claimed to like it. Two of them were interested in making offers. One was able to actually get the book through, through committee and come to us with an offer. So it was still a lengthy process. It unfolded over about a year,
mm-hmm.
but it actually wasn't sent out to a great many people. It was different from my previous attempts. I had written maybe 7 or 8 books before Blood Angel, and so this one, was different. And I knew early on when I was writing it that it was different, that I was operating at a different level. So, the reactions it got too were indicative of that.
Right. And so then you went on to write a sequel called Lord of Bones, and in between another book that was not connected to that story. Is that right?
Yeah. Uninvited.
Uninvited. Okay. And I read that now the book that you're working on, you're actually plotting out on Pinterest. Is that something that you can explain to a non-Pinterest user?
Oh, yeah. I started using Pinterest as my initial interest in it was as a kind of vision board for my book. I really wanted to create a sense of my story world. And I'm I seem to be increasingly visual as I get older. And so I wanted to collect all of these images and just use them to give myself a sense of who my characters were and the kind of world that they lived in. And then Pinterest just kind of came across my line of vision during this. And I thought, well, this is great. This is what I can use it for. And then I got a little more involved in the social aspect of it. But it's a great place to collect all of your online clippings that otherwise have no place to go.
Well, and I wondered how that's affected your writing process, because in some ways that's a very sort of noisy way to write a book, right? I assume people are weighing in on these images and speculating about them. Do you actively engage with that, or is that something that just kind of happens under your radar?
I think a lot of it happens under my radar. I will get some feedback on some of the images, but it's good. It's either... it tends to be fairly supportive, and I will engage the readers of my blog particularly, and then on my Facebook page, I'll throw things out. Like recently I was trying to refine a log line and collecting reactions to that was very, very helpful. So I'm not looking for like a nuanced critique of my work, from people online. I just want a sense of, either it works or it doesn't work. And you can tell by the quality of reactions, like there's that lukewarm, I like it, or it's interesting.
Yeah.
And then there's like heartfelt enthusiasm. And when you get that, that genuinely enthusiastic response, then you're kind of, you're in the vein, and that's the direction you want to keep going in.
Yeah, I could see how that could be really, really valuable. So I wanted to wind up by talking a little bit about your blog, where you write a great deal about creativity. You sent me a bio that had this line that you believe that being uncooperative with bullshit is to be cooperative with your own audacious truth. And that seems to get at the core of a lot of what your blog is about. But what's your intention with the blog?
I would say my intention is to explore the relationship between kind of like, I mean, I don't know if these terms are correct, but kind of the relationship between the new creative and what I see as like the new woman, or just basically creativity filtered through a rather feminist lens. I believe that coming to terms with our own inner voice that we get disconnected from for so many reasons on so many levels, I think, as we grow up, particularly as women. I think reconnecting to that is profound on and profoundly important on so many levels, like not just creative, but also on a personal level, professional level, even a sexual level. And so with the blog, I kind of want to explore that, explore what it means to be whole, not in a you know, kind of like woo-woo way, but just in terms of a you know, I'm done with this. I tried these things, they didn't work for me. I want something new. I want to figure out how to make my life work for me. I want to lean into my life, my values, my ideals. And, you know, so the blog is kind of an exploration of what that means and how to do that.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Justine Musk. Thanks also to everyone who's written an essay for Works Do. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@worksdo.com, by posting a comment on the Works Do website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.